Blog Talk Radio.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to Poetry Superhighway Live. My name is Rick Lupert. I'm the guy behind the Poetry Superhighway. Sometimes I'm the guy in front of it. Sometimes I just have it in a bag as I walk down the street. In all cases, it's good to have you with me, whether you're listening to us live today on December 12th at 2 o'clock p.m. Pacific time or whatever time it may be in your part of the world, or if you are listening to this in the archive, where, of course, you can listen to all past shows. And I think, actually, with a certain combination of keystrokes, you can actually talk to historical figures from the past as well. I haven't quite explored the website that much, but I think that's what you can do. So it's an open reading today, and you, listener, are invited to call in. Of course, if you're listening to the show in the archive, you shouldn't call in because odds are you were not here. It's a recording. But if it's live, then you should call in and read a poem. The number to call in is area code 646-716-7362. And call in. Pick up your phone. Dial. Have a poem ready. We'd love to hear what you have to say. This show goes out to a lot of people. A lot of people listen to it. And so if you've never participated in an open reading, then it's a great opportunity for you to do so. And it's one of the easiest way to do it because it's not like you're standing in front of an audience that you're in the same room as. Of course, many of you are probably highly experienced doing that, so it's no big deal. But if you haven't yet crossed that line of sharing your poetry with people live, then this is a great way to do that. So 646-716-7362. We have no content or style restrictions, and we'd love to hear what you have to say. I have a couple callers on the line. A couple things before we get to that. I want to mention a few things. Number one, Poetry Superhighway just published our 2010 holiday recommendations. This is the second year that we've done this, highlighting a few books which have particularly moved us. And of course, whenever I say us in reference to the Poetry Superhighway, I really mean me, but you get the idea. You probably got the email already if you're on our email list earlier in the week, but if you didn't and you'd like to see the ones which have risen to the top for us this year, then just go to the Poetry Superhighway website, poetrysuperhighway.com. Click on, right there on the front page, it says Holiday Recommendations 2010. Actually, I'm not looking at it. It could say 2010 Holiday Recommendations, but it definitely says one of those two. Those three words are there, and if you click on it, you will see the eight books that I have selected, and a couple of them are books by individual poets. There is an anthology in there. There's the latest, the 2011 edition of Poets Market, which is really an essential resource if you're someone who sends your poetry out for publication consideration on a regular basis. And there's a couple things in there which I've labeled guilty pleasures. One of them is the book B is for Bad Poetry by Pamela August Russell, which is very, very funny. There's also Zombie Haiku, which, I don't think that needs much explanation. It's just another guilty pleasure. So you can see all these, a couple sentences about them. Click on 2010 Holiday Recommendations right there from the main Poetry Superhighway menu, and shop away, people. Shop away. The time is here. I also want to mention, if you happen to be in the L.A. area, it's quite a busy day for me. Of course, I have this show now, which you are listening to even as I speak. Later today, I'm going to be traveling to Pasadena. I'm talking about a 20-minute drive here. It's not like there's passports involved or anything of that nature. And in Pasadena, I will be one of the featured readers at the second Saturday Poetry Series at Cafe Alibi in Pasadena. That's a coffee house on Fair Oaks Street, about a block and a half south of Colorado, right in the heart of Old Town Pasadena, which, if you're familiar with the Rose Parade, goes right through there. That's where it's happening. I'm one of three readers. The other two are Will Mechem and Bob Foster. couple other LA poets. It's hosted by Alex Frankel, who's been hosting this reading series for just over a year now. And it's a great thing. And I will be concluding my tour of the San Gabriel Valley at this venue tonight. The reading is at 5 o'clock p.m. There's, of course, the three featured readers. There's an open reading as well. There's no cost to participate in this reading. It's a great little coffee house. You can get yourself some coffee and quality poetry. Alex is a good host. And then when you're done, it's dinner time, and you're right there in Old Town Pasadena, which has so many great places to eat. It's really a cool area of town. They've really kind of fixed that place up nice not too long ago. It wasn't such a cool area of town, but it is now. So head down there, and I'd love to see you. So that is what is happening these days. So let's get to our first caller, shall we? Again, the number is 646-716-7362. And our first caller is from the 585 area code. Hello.
Hello, Greg. It's Larry Bechet from Rochester, New York. How you doing?
Hey, Larry. How you doing? Long time no talk.
No, it's been a while. I thought I'd call in. Great show. Thanks for having me.
No
I got
problem.
A moment for you.
Let's hear it.
It's called Vacuuming the Rug. Step one, throw everybody out of the house. Step two, put the dog out. Step three, get the vacuum cleaner out of the closet. Step four, put the plug in the vacuum cleaner. Step five, curse because you forgot to clean the things the last time you moved in this blowing journal over the floor. Step six, turn off the vacuum cleaner. Step seven, take a deep cleansing breath and let it out slowly. Step eight, cough out the dirt you just sucked into your lungs. Step nine, turn the vacuum cleaner to suck. Step 10, use your arms and the long handle attachment to get into the hard-to-reach places. Step 11, curse because you forgot to attach the long handle attachment to the vacuum cleaner. Step 12, attach the handle to the vacuum cleaner. Step 13, whistle or sing as you vacuum up the dirt. Step 14, turn off the vacuum cleaner. Step 15, take apart the attachment and put everything back in the closet. Step 16, collapse on the couch. Step 17, wake when everybody comes back in the house making too much noise. Step 18, curse the kids' muddy shoes and the dog's cage with dirt coat that he just had to shake off where he just vacuumed. Step 19, receive hugs and wishes and support from family and friends. And step 20, go to bed and dream of doing the laundry.
Well, Larry, that's quite a list there. I was trying to furiously write that down just so I could make sure to not miss any steps when I next have to vacuum my carpet. How have you been? I guess I should tell the audience, you used to be a part of L.A.'s poetry community, and then you left town and you live in Rochester now, is that right?
Yeah.
Rochester, New York. How's poetry life in Rochester?
It's pretty good. Most of the people are teachers, though, so it's almost all academic.
Mm-hmm.
There's a couple of local groups that try to run readings, but they do the best they can, but it's not the same as L.A.
Great. Are you finding you're getting some, you know, are you participating in those readings, that kind of thing?
Yeah.
Is there anything that has a...
My books are in the third edition, and some poetry's going like gangbusters.
That's great. Well, I always appreciate it. It's been a long time. It's good to hear from you. And you always advertise on every year. You run a contest every year, and I always appreciate that you advertise on
yeah.
in our classified section. Is that coming up again? Or
no, I had to cancel it because it just ran out of money.
Oh, well, I'm sorry to hear that.
I spent $2,500 on it and made $600, so I couldn't do it anymore.
Well, that doesn't sound good. I'm sorry that it went bust for you, but it's great to hear your voice. I hope all is well with you in Rochester, and I'll talk with you again.
Okay, take care, Rick.
All right, take care. That was Lawrence Berger calling from Rochester, New York, a transplant out of Los Angeles, set up shop there in Rochester. Cool. All right. Well, moving along, give us a call. The number is 646-716-7362. Show goes on for an hour. We'll be here till 3 p.m. Pacific. Would love to get you on the air and hear some of your work. So That's that. Right now, moving to a caller from the infamous 973 area code. Hello.
The infamous 973 area code. This is Mr. T.
You don't sound at all like Mr. T. That's he has a very distinct. That's getting closer.
Yeah, it's a little close, but no cigar. Anyway, I'm looking for a serious beverage commitment. Got any suggestions? This is Dave Nevis from the lush rolling hills of Newark, New Jersey.
It's Nevis.
Yeah.
I've been saying Neves for years now.
You can say that. It's actually the Portuguese way to say it. It is a Portuguese name. I am Portuguese descent. And the Portuguese way to say it is Neves, which means snow. And a lot of the Sephardic people, you know, who were descendants from Portugal, who were in Portugal, the Moors, before the Spanish Inquisition, which forced the Jews to either kiss the big toe or be burned at the stake, you know, because of the pogroms in the late 15th and 16th centuries. A lot of them, they just kind of, you know, they adopted names which were out of nature, natural names. So names like snow, flores, which is flowers, names like those, you pretty much can tell that they're Sephardic ancestry.
That is fascinating, by the way. I've adopted a natural name for the title of my next book.
What would that be?
Sins of Buckwood.
Oh, yeah, I saw that. I saw that there. That's nice. I saw that. Anyway, I'm working on my book, and it's just about done. So anyway, real quickly, the name of the piece I'm about to read is called Canuck. And it's owing to the, you know, since you spent time in Canada this past year, vacation, you know, it causes me to reflect, because I spent the better part of 30 years in Canada, specifically in Toronto. You were in the French part. I was in Toronto for all that time because my fiance was there. The last time I was there was 2007 for her funeral. So... Yeah, you know, that's the last time. I want to go back again and, you know, visit her daughter and her brother. But anyway, here it is, Canuck, because I wrote this for Canada Day, which I celebrate every year in her honor. And it was this past year, I was sitting on the bench there. There were a couple of unseasonably cool days that caused me to reflect on when I used to sit on her balcony when I used to go visit her. Anyway, here it is, Canuck. Canada Day, which celebrating on bench, splintered with embarrassment, the bearing weight of unsightly bulbous person of Jerry Garcia likeness, as bending bench, diaphanously accommodating with secretive sighs, as I'm taken back to your balcony, where ninja breeze such as this, sometimes a shrill whisper, but oftentimes a choleric, decisive rebuke, with all of the diplomacy of a crack whore on Spanish Fly, as yes, all Canada, I will attest that the coldest winter I ever spent was a summer in Toronto, as announcer shrieks, it's hockey night in Canada, so what else is new, eh? 2. I am on your balcony once again, dissected by Canadian breath of summery winter, or is it wintry summer, as I hear, it's hockey night in Canada. I think we know that already. Yes, it's still always hockey night in Canada. But you are my heated blanket and woolly comforter, nestled and cozy in your aura and paradox of your questions about death. How did you know that your sojourn was almost over? You said we and or us in flickering flint of life, which we learned is only but a dress rehearsal. Why couldn't I come? Why wasn't I invited? We've both arrived and are together a sum total of what we shall be. A? Three. Later, Chris. Again, I ask the timeless question. Is it still hockey night in Canada? Yet again, transported back to ephemeral balcony. Oh, Canada. Such radiance juxtaposed on transparent ice. You are my burden, oh, Canada. You've carried me as burden on cusp of oblivion, teased with love and taught with tension as archer's bow as I arrive for final episode. Now I can see your balcony from strangely familiar place. Indeed, my sweet burden, and I now carry, grabbing brass handle as pallbearer, to lower you to rest. Epilogue. Oh, Canada, I stand on guard for you. Sleep well, my love. Happy Canada Day, eh? For Terry, my Canadian princess.
Well, that was wonderful, David. What a lovely tribute to your fiance and Canada in general. And it's so, you know, it's funny that I mentioned my book, because my book actually is written in Canada. The one that I'm about to release, Sins of Buckwood. It all revolves around being in Montreal or traveling to and from Montreal. So
I can't wait to get it. I've got 4 years already. I can't wait to get that one.
Well, they make great gifts.
I'm sorry?
They make great gifts.
Oh, yes, but I don't have no one to give it to.
I'm going to rank you
almost
some people.
No family, and almost no family. My daughter is mad at me, and I'm mad at her, and so I really don't have anybody to give it to. I give it to my son, but he can't read. He's autistic.
Well, I found that if you buy, like, a couple dozen copies of one of my books and just hand them out to strangers on the street, that
yes.
It's a really effective tool for, period.
Will I get elected as sovereign?
Of that street for that hour, yes.
Or will the world come to an end, as Harold Camping was this said? Am I preparing everybody for the end of the world? Oh, no, that is another gospel. I guess you've never heard of that guy. He's on YouTube.
I don't think I have.
That's okay.
I enjoyed your piece, even though I guess it's more Toronto-based. I did enjoy the A's, which, of course, brought me back to watching Bob and Doug McKenzie on Second City Television. and their tales of the Great White North. But a lovely tribute it was. Thanks for sharing it.
Thank you so much. I'll talk to you next month or catch you on Facebook. Okay, Rick?
All right, take it easy.
Okay, bro. Bye-bye.
That was David Nevis, as now I finally am revealed to that is how you pronounce it, not how I've been pronouncing it for the last several years, from the lush rolling hills of Newark, New Jersey, sharing his poem, a tribute to Canada, and kind of a sweet piece for his fiance. May she rest in peace. So call in, would you? Plenty of open lines right now. The number is 646-716-7362. It's an open reading. It's open for you to call in and share your poetry. No content or style restrictions. Would love to hear your piece and to hear a little bit about what's going on in your world in poetry as well. As I kind of snuck in there surreptitiously, of course, while David was talking and I were talking, I do have a new book coming out. It's called Sins of Buckwood, The Poet's Experiences in and on the Way to and from Montreal, Quebec, Canada, written in July this past year during a trip that I was on with my wife. We had a great time in Montreal. A ton of poetry came out of it. And in the tradition, if you're familiar with my work at all, a lot of my books are travel books and kind of observational about the things that I see that are not the same as you know, my usual tooling about Los Angeles, and a lot of humor, that kind of thing. You'll probably dig it, and it's available now. Actually, the official publication launch isn't until the end of January. But if you just can't wait, you can head to my website, Poetry. Actually, no, you can't get it there, as a matter of fact, quite yet. But it's available on Amazon.com. Look me up, Rick Lupert. The title is Sins of Buckwood, which is the First Nations, the Algonquin, the Native Canadian word for drawn from wood, in reference to the maple syrup, or the sap that comes out of the maple trees that turns into maple syrup. It's sweet. It's good. It's funny. You should get it. You should buy 1,000 copies of it and hand it to everyone you know. That's what I think. Moving on to our next caller. Let's see. Series of Ones. Hello.
The woods are lovely. The woods are lovely, dark and deep. But I have promises to keep and mouths to go before I sleep. And mouths to go before I sleep. That classic Robert Frost poem, could that not be Santa Claus speaking? Hello, Rick. It's Michael from Birmingham.
Hi, Michael.
How are you doing?
Hi.
Can I read 15 lines of poetry?
Absolutely.
There are three poems with 5 lines apiece.
Go ahead.
Okay. All right. Sounds like it's kind of slow today. Are you not having any callers?
Getting slower if you point it out, Michael. You want to read your poems?
What's that?
Go ahead and read your poems.
Okay, these first two are Sin Kang's. They can be found at amaze-sinkang.com. The first is Evergreen. New York City lit up, a neon Christmas tree topped by the torch of liberty, our light. The second, O Dawn Divine. The sun in a cradle rocked on the horizon. Wake just to know yet another Noel. And this third I wrote Friday night is called Candy Canes. And if you see it on the page, it would be shaped like a Christmas tree. A tree loaded up with Jesus joints. A tree loaded up with Jesus joints needs no other lights. Rick, happy holidays to you and all your
listeners.
Hold
on, Michael. I got to ask you some questions about this. May I ask you a few questions? What exactly is a Jesus joint?
Well, you know, the candy canes, the title of the poem was Candy Cane.
Right.
And they make a J.
I get it. Okay, so a candy cane is a Jesus joint.
Yes, it's a metaphor that I realized when I looked at the candy cane. The candy cane, the J, Jesus, and like the shepherd's staff. And then I thought, well, it's also kind of jointed, you know, J joint. So I thought, Jesus joint just occurred to me. And then the poem kind of assembled itself like a Christmas tree. And there you have it. And I thought it would be fun to read this time of the year. As soon as I wrote it,
it's the right time of year to read that poem. Yeah, of course, you know, the word joint has other connotations. And, you know, you slap that up against a bunch of people's savior, and then you could, I suppose people could go in a whole other direction with that.
Well, some other people have read it. They really enjoyed it. They thought it was really not irreverent, you know, but kind of like, you know, a fun thing, like a glass of wine, cheers.
No, I get you. I don't find it irreverent, or that is, I don't have a problem with irreverence, I wasn't pointing that out to say that was a problem. I enjoyed that aspect of it quite a bit. I was just, it didn't occur to me, even though you'd said the title, that you were referring to a candy cane. So that I guess my mind perhaps, my mind went in a different direction. So maybe I'm the irreverent one.
Oh, no. I mean, like I said, people who have read it and commented on it have all thought it was just delightful. I don't say that in brag. I just say that was, you know, they thought it witty and delightful. And
I find it witty, too. Yeah.
To think of the candy cane.
No need to defend it. No need to defend it. That's not where I'm going with it. I, I, I enjoyed it. I'm just playing on the double entendre in that phrase, you know.
Well, that's the way it is with poetry. You know, people can have their own, you know, interpretations or feelings. As you probably know, so however people perceive it, you know, but I thought it was, you know, a delightful one. It just occurred to me and made me kind of chuckle, and I wrote that word down and thought if that word was shaped like a J, like a candy cane, it would be even more so. That's real difficult to do on the computer. And then I said, well, I want more than just the word anyway. And then I said, let's see what it looks like shaped like a Christmas tree. And, you know, I'm going on and on and about the process. And then, you know, if a whole tree had those on, you've seen maybe a Christmas tree decorated with candy canes?
Sure.
Hello?
Yeah,
and I thought, well, okay. And then also that last line needs no other light. It's, you know, the one light from a Christian perspective, you know, the light, the Prince of Light, Christmas Nativity.
Yeah, it makes sense to me. It all kind of comes together. You know, there's a little trick. You of course, you fooled me a little bit because we, of course, usually have this one poem, you know, per person thing. I don't have that many callers right now, so it's not that big of a deal. But so, of course, you framed it by saying I'm going to read 15 lines of poems, and of course, of poetry. And, of course, many poems, single poems, are much longer than that. So you kind of set me up to then say, well, it's three poems, though, which was tricky. But I wanted to give you you did after the 15 lines. You got me to agree to 15 lines. And then you said it was three poems. But I have this trick that I do sometimes when I give a poetry reading. I actually did this last night at a reading when a friend and I were reading together, and we both agreed we were going to do, you know, 2 5-poem sets each. He would read 5 poems, I would read 5 poems, he would read 5 poems, and that's it. You know, and when I put together a reading by myself, I usually have a time limit in mind as opposed to a particular number of poems. Like, you know, usually your open reading time limit is 5 minutes, or if you're giving a feature reading, they say you got 15 or 20. And you do as much as you can or you want to that makes sense in that time, right?
Yes.
Still with me, Michael?
Yeah, I'm here. I'm kind of just...
I must be
go
getting
ahead.
Boring, but I'll go on anyway.
You're not getting boring. I was kind of distracted. I'm sorry.
That's okay. No worries.
I really just planned on calling in and reading the poems. But we can dialogue. It's fine. I just want to make sure you're not holding up any callers. But I'm sorry if there was a miscommunication. I specified that there were the 15 lines would be three.
No, you're missing my point here. I'm not getting on you for that. Like it was tricky in the sense it wasn't a miscommunication. Like so what I do sometimes is like if they say okay you have you can read one poem is sometimes you know a lot of my poems are really short. I'll put them together like say three short poems in one, and I'll give them the whole of the three poems a single title. Like, you know, this poem is called Three Short Poems or something ridiculous like that, and then I'll number them, you know.
So to make a pun on what you're, saying, you kind of joint them together.
Yes, you know? That's exactly right. So you could have...
That's a cool idea.
It would have been more tricky if what you had done... Or more secret, I wouldn't have realized it was three poems if instead of telling me it's three poems, if you just combined them together and said, I got 15 lines, it's three parts, one, and then read you, you know, it makes us think it's one poem, even though the parts sound different.
Right.
You know, it's a little trick you can do in an open reading, you know, when you're given
a particular
kind of limit.
Well, maybe strategy is the word. How about strategy being the word?
Sure, that's fine.
But but those first two were Sin Canes at the amazingsincane.com website, mm-hmm. online journal that specializes in Sin Canes. So I wanted to separate those two. And then the third is kind of like, you know, being a concrete poem, visual poem, shaped poem. I wanted to specify that. But look, I mean, I'd love to talk some more, but I don't want to hold up any other callers. But I'm glad we got a chance to speak. Good luck with your new book.
Oh, thank you very much. I assume you'll be buying several copies.
I'll see what I can do. Maybe Santa Claus will bring some.
Maybe. I don't know if he brings
some
Jewish
on his sleigh. Tell Santa Claus to drop by and pick some up to drop them off on Christmas Eve.
I'll make a phone call. Michael, before I let you go, is there anything going on in Birmingham that you want to mention to us in terms of readings?
In my younger days, I used to know about everything. I've gotten a little older. I turned 53 last month. About the only thing that I'm involved in these days is at the museum, Birmingham Museum of Art, as I've told you. They have a reading about three times a year. The next one's coming up February, and I think it's the Friday after Valentine's. And I always enjoyed them because depending on the time of the year that it occurs, that kind of dictates or prompts me to what I'm going to select to read. And I usually try to read one by someone else, and then I try to read one of my own. And I try to relate one to one of the paintings in our collection there at the museum, you know, kind of give an ekphrastic edge to the whole reading experience, bring that to the table, so to speak.
Right. Do you have a particular role at the museum, or are you just a participant in the readings that happen there?
For about the last 10 years, I've been what's called a docent, a touring docent, but my schedule, et cetera, things changed about, and so had to withdraw from that at least for a while. Currently, I'm an ongoing member for many years, and I've given a talk there a time or two on poetry and visual art expresses, and these poetry events I'm involved in.
Great. Well, Michael, I appreciate that you call in every month or periodically at any rate, and thanks for sharing your work, and hope the holiday's a good one for you.
Yeah, likewise for you. Especially you got a new book. That's great. You know, a holiday launch of a new book. And it was. I appreciate that we got to do more than reading it. We got to dialogue about poetry for a while across the country.
Yep, indeed. 3,000 miles and a lot said in between.
Yes, and your program is a nice gift, monthly gift throughout the year. Happy holidays and Happy New Year to you, Rick.
Thanks, you too. That's Michael from Birmingham, Alabama, a regular caller here on Poetry Superhighway Live. Always tells us about his involvement in the poetry scene in Birmingham, in particular the museum that he's involved with. Good to hear his work as well. So we do have open lines. Would love for you to call in and share your work. The number is 646-716-7362. It is a little slower, so Ansar, you'll have a little bit more time than just quickly reading one poem and knocking you off to get to the next person. I love having a little bit more space because it's really one of the great purposes of this show, I think, besides just hearing people's poems, is what makes it different from, say, an open reading that you might participate in your hometown where there might be a regular crowd and you kind of know what's going on with everyone, is that people call into this show from all over, in particular the United States, but certainly we've had callers from all over the world as well. And it's fascinating to me to have the opportunity to ask you about what's going on in poetry in your part of the world for all kinds of reasons. One is there might be people listening to your to this show from where you're calling from who had no idea that you existed or that your reading existed or something of that nature. And so we have the potential to get information out to really create kind of a worldwide networking thing. And then also, we all travel, many of us do at any rate, to different parts of the world. And sometimes, you know, it's nice when we go places to see what's happening in the poetry community in those places. You know, I travel a few times in the year, and I love when I'm in a new city to get to a reading there and see what's going on and maybe show up at an open reading and just see how they do it there and how it's different from what we do in here in L.A. and that kind of thing. So it's a great thing. So here's the thing. Even if you don't have a poem to read, if you've got something you want to talk about, if you're pushing a book, if you're pushing a particular event, if you want to call attention to your website or publication, call in, and we'd love to hear about it. It's all about the mission of the Poetry Superhighway, which is to expose as many people to as many other people's poetry as possible. I just said to expose as many other people and then kind of got caught in that phrase for a moment, so you'll have to forgive me. So there you go. Call in. The number is 646-716-7362. 602. That's our number. We'd love to hear what you have to say. I'm going to play. We're about halfway through the show. I'm working on a spoken word recording. I have a lot of books out. In fact, this new book, Sins of Buckwood, it's my 13th book. I don't even have my copy yet, but somehow it's already available on the internet for people to purchase. So that's a little strange. But a lot of people have been telling me for some time that I should make a spoken word CD. People seem to enjoy the way that I read my work, and a lot of times I hear feedback from people. They say, you know, I love reading your books, but every time I read one of your poems, I hear it in your voice. There's nothing like, you know, it's just not quite the same. So I have been convinced to put together a spoken word CD, or at least that it's a good idea, and I've been slowly recording tracks and mixing them and adding different kinds of, you know, textures and audio to them. And I've got this one track that I'm going to play for you right now. It's a slow process because, frankly, I'm doing this at home, and I can only do it when no one else is home or asleep, and that pretty much never happens. So here's a little sample of a poem called Rules for Poetry that will appear on a forthcoming spoken word CD that will come out sometime in the future.
Rules for Poetry. Never use adjectives unless you're trying to describe something and you don't want to do it the hard way. Never use the word forever. It reminds people they're going to die. And the last thing you need is people distracted by their mortality during your poem. Write what you know, unless you're a fool, in which case, look to the internet and write about something there. Avoid vowels and their angry sister, the letter Y. Avoid cliché. On the other hand, learn the difference between epigraphs, epigrams, and episiotomies. Use as few words as possible. In fact, hand out blank sheets of paper and tell them it's your finest work. If you ever use the phrase, darkness in my soul, be prepared for me to come to your house and kill you. If you're going to write in form, do it right. For example, as I understand it, a haiku is 800 words written while sitting on a cheesecake. Line breaks are important, but use them carefully. Once you've broken a line, its mother will never forgive you. Finally, go to poetry workshops. Sometimes they serve food, and you can't write poetry if you're dead because you forgot to eat.
Oh, thank you. Thank you so much. That's my spoken word track, Rules for Poetry. That's a poem I wrote about a year ago. It appears in a recent issue of Rattle Magazine, which is a wonderful publication, actually out of Southern California. Check it out, Rattle Magazine, on the internet. And that particular piece is one of the spoken word tracks which will appear on a forthcoming spoken word CD that I'm working on. The number to call in is 646-716-7362. Moving to our next caller. Hello. Who's there? Anybody there? Oh, they're gone. Well, that's the way it is with live radio. Of course, again, if you're listening to this in the archive, it's not live. So it's not like it's happening in another part of town. You know what I'm saying? Because it's the past. It's historical. It's already happened. You go to the archive, all those shows are not live. Those are shows which happened previous to when you are listening to them. However, if right now in your world it's December 12th at 2:39 p.m. Pacific time, which granted if you're not in the Pacific time zone would be a different time somewhere else. Let's just say GMT minus 8, to be clear. If that's the time right now, then this is live. This is actually happening as I speak. So, moving on. We have a caller from a series of ones. Are you there, series of ones? Anybody there? Oh, gone again. Killing me. Just killing me. All right, then. Well, let's see. We have a caller from the 213 area code. Are you there? No. Wow, this is the finest show I've ever done. I'm so thrilled. Okay, let's. Looks like the ones are back. Are you there, ones? Ha ha! Are you with me, people? Can you feel the joy that I'm feeling right now? I'm going to give out the phone number one more time because that's clearly the problem here. I've not given out the phone number enough times. It's area code 646-716-7362. I tried to give that out really slow just in the event that you're someone who doesn't listen fast and you wanted to really be able to take that phone number down. But of course, if you're listening to the show right now, the phone number is probably on your screen. So me giving out the number is really just my impersonation of a telethon, except without asking you for money. Though, by the way, if you have money and you'd like to send it to me, that's fine as well. If you go to my website, poetrysuperhighway.com, click on Contact. I think it's the rightmost choice in the menu of my relatively newly designed website. It's orange, used to not be. It's got some other features to it. And it says right there my address, and it says if you'd like to send me money, send it there. So this isn't a telethon per se, but that is an option available to you in general. Hello, caller from the 10 ones. Are you there? Anybody there?
Rick?
Yeah.
Mike, again, you're not getting any callers, and I didn't call to read some more. If you're not going to get any callers, may I make a suggestion?
Sure.
Care to read from your new book? I'd love to listen. That's me calling with the one. See, I don't want to read again or interrupt you again, but that's the only way I can listen to you because I'm in a vehicle. So, but if you want to, if you're not getting more callers, if you want, I'd love to listen to you read for a change. Kind of a Christmas present, and thank you for having the show.
You don't think you can make it out to, you know, I'm doing a whole reading in Pasadena in a little while. You don't think you can make it out to Pasadena in the next couple hours from Birmingham?
It was just an idea since you're not getting any callers. I don't know what it is you're not getting any callers today, but anyway, just if you, I just thought I'd give you a plug and say, you know, if you want to read, I'd love to listen to you read some of your work. Anyway,
well, I'll take it under advisement. I did just play a spoken word track of mine, which kind of counts. Did you hear that?
I heard that.
What'd you think?
Good. And it sounded good.
Well, that's a ringing endorsement. Thank you. Well, Michael, thanks for the suggestion. I'm gonna take it under advisement, and we'll see if it comes to that.
Okay, and I'll still be listening. Maybe some more callers will call in.
You never know.
I don't know. Great. Talk to you later.
Must be the holidays. It's 80 degrees here in L.A. Everyone has just gone outside in solidarity with the temperature here in Southern California.
Yeah, I would have thought maybe next week would have been more like this. You know, everyone, you know, preoccupied with something else. But but it looks like it turned out this Sunday. Anyway, okay, I'm still listening.
Glad to have you out there.
Yeah, great. I feel like we're on a planet where nobody else is listening to the radio today. I can't understand.
Oh, they're
that.
All listening. Don't get me wrong. They're just not calling. It's we had about 75 listeners last month and more people call in that I even had time to get to. So I know people are listening, but not everyone who listens necessarily wants to call in. I think they're right now probably finding the conversation between you and I a little too fascinating.
Oh, yes. Okay, then. Well, anyway, I can recommend a good movie this time of the year. Bright Star by John Keats is he's a great poet, and his birthday was last month. Okay, well, anyway, I'll free up the line in case someone's trying to call in to read some poetry.
Okay, great. Thanks, Michael. That's Michael from Birmingham calling back in just to express his sympathy that it seems that we're having trouble getting callers on the air this month. Maybe you just want to stop listening to this particular show and go listen to last month's show. We had so many callers last month, it was ridiculous. I had to cut people off. I had to rush through it. I had to not get to everyone at the end because it was just overwhelming. Maybe people listened to that show before this one went on the air and they're just kind of spent. Just kind of lying on their floors, exhausted from all the poetry from last month's show. Really leaving us with a lot of free lines this month. Maybe that's what it is. Again, the number is 646-716-7362. That's our number. You should call in and read a poem. It's a great thing to do. Just call in and, you know what, maybe you're too scared to read. Call in and specifically tell me that you're not going to read a poem. That would be great. I would love that right now. That would be quite enjoyable. Alrighty. Well, here's someone else from the 10-1s. I wonder if it's Michael again. Hello. Nope. They just hung up. A lot of people find me intimidating. I think that's what it is. As soon as I put them on the air, they just hang up because, of my history of violence and of killing people and such. So maybe that's it. Maybe that's what happens. They hear my voice. They hear the, it just sounds dangerous. And, you get to a certain point, you get to the point, you dial the number, and I put you on the air, and then you realize, oh, no, this is really happening. And you can't do it. I understand. All right, listen, I think we're just going to call it a day here at Poetry Superhighway Live. I got to put some clothes on and get out to Pasadena for my reading there. Maybe you're all waiting there to see me read in person, and that's why you're not calling into this show this month. I'm not sure, but that's okay. So thanks a lot, everyone, for listening. If you're listening in the archive, thanks for making it this far into the program, and you should listen to the other shows where lots of people actually called in. Have fun out there, people. Our next show will be January 9th, 2011, the first show of 2011. That's going to be exciting. That's a whole new year. It's been 2010 all year, and we're going to end all that at the end of this month and move on to a whole new year. It's going to rock, My new book, Sins of Buckwood, is going to be out. You can get it on Amazon right now. Come to the publication party, and actually, if you're in L.A., there's a publication reading January 30th. It's a Sunday at 4 o'clock p.m. I'll talk about it more next month, of course, but it's really a roll call of the immortals, as my friend Brendan likes to say every now and then. In addition to me reading from the new book, we will have Matthew Mars singing the Canadian National Anthem. That's going to be pretty bizarre. I have... Derek Brown, poet Derek Brown, who runs Right Bloody Press, which is a really awesome press, and he's just one of the most amazing writers and performers that there is. He is going to be reading some travel poetry, kind of in league with my book being a travel-themed book. Neil Aitken, who is a poet who lives in L.A., but he's actually from Canada, will be giving a 5 to 10 minute dissertation about Canada. And Brendan Constantine will be performing a 10-minute cirque. Cirque, as in Cirque du Soleil, being one name of a particular company that runs that style of circus. There are many others. We were in Montreal where all this kind of developed. And so I don't know what Brendan's going to do, but for 10 minutes he's going to perform a cirque. It's going to be wild. That's January 30th at 4 p.m. at Beyond Baroque Literary Arts Center in Venice, California. I hope you can make it. It's going to be a lot of fun, and it'll be the first time that the books are available in person. Sinza Buckworth. Looks like we do have a caller. That's exciting. Caller from the 954 area code. Hello.
Hi. Rick?
Yeah.
Hi, my name is Bonita. I'm calling from Fort Lauderdale, Florida.
Hi, Bonita. Your name sounds familiar. Were you recently the person who I featured on the Poetry Superhighway?
Yeah, it was a Poet of the Week a few weeks ago on your blog.
Right, right. Well, it's not a blog per se. It's a weekly publication. I should upgrade to a blog software, but it hasn't happened yet. And then recently your book, I don't know if you noticed, was also featured in the Poetry Superhighway bookstore. Not this week, but the previous 2 weeks.
I saw that.
Yeah.
I appreciate that. Thanks a lot.
My pleasure. Tell me the name of your book again.
It's called Bus Rides.
Bus Rides. Cool. Well, do you want to read one of your poems?
Sure. I'll read the one that was on, that was one of the ones that was featured.
Cool.
It's called Bus Ride Down Agua Fria. Yeah, I wrote it a few years ago when I was visiting Santa Fe. Away from Holy Hyde Mountains, south down rural Agua Fria, from flat top apartments to Planet Road chickens and burned out horse trailers, packed with wild weeds and trash, I sat on the city bus and smiled thoughts of coal mine beers and penned great white geese by the Santa Fe rail yard graffiti. An older long-haired bearded hippie sat up front chatting with the driver. A tall, thin man stood to exit and placed a wide lady's straw beach hat with a pink ribbon and bow atop his head and stepped into the rain. That sure is a fancy hat, said the hippie. The bus driver nodded. A cowboy-booted Mexican chuckled. The Holy Hyde Mountains hid blanketed behind dark gray rain clouds, resting from coyote howls and pea-sized hail. At a stop sign, the road chickens wandered around the lone bus, chasing fat raindrops, and for a moment, I was their son, illuminating them.
I love that ending, Bonita. That really clinched it for me when I was reading through poems that week, and that's why I put that one up. Clearly that's a poem written on a bus. I mean, is that from your book, Bus Rides?
Yes, it is. This is just a regular city bus. I was going through my friend's neighborhood that I was visiting.
Is the book exclusively poems written while on a bus, or referring back to experiences writing, or is that just one recurring
thing? Yeah, most of them, or places I've visited. Like I've taken Greyhounds across the country and visited the Midwest and things like that. So it's mostly about things that I've seen either on the bus or as a result of a bus or a travel trip.
Interesting. When did the book come out?
October, late October, I think, this year.
Oh, this year. It's a brand new thing.
Yeah, but they've been written between, I'd say, 92 to this year.
So it's really kind of a selected anthology of stuff you've written over a pretty good period of time.
Yes, they're pulled from travel journals that I've written through the years.
That's great. A lot of my books are travel books, so I really, relate to that. There's something about, I don't know if you find this, but when I'm traveling, you know, removing myself from my normal element, I tend to write a lot more because, for me, it's a little harder to write in the normal element. Everything, you know, there's less remark. I find it hard to find the harder, I should say, to find the remarkable things that I want to put in a poem. But when you're traveling, everything is new and remarkable, you know, in some way or another. And so, it, for me, it flows a little better. Do you find that, or do you, or what?
I do. I do. That's why I enjoy traveling so much, to get away from the 9-to-5 grind. But especially from the poem that I just read, there were some similarities that I found to home. And that Santa Fe, the way that it is now is kind of like South Florida was maybe 20 years ago. And that there is a huge elderly population, and there's a lot of small artist community. There's an increasing gay population. And there are a lot of different Hispanic cultures. So you see everything there. But it's not as busy and as hectic as South Florida is. So I like to pick out the similarities, but I also enjoy the differences.
Cool. Well, that's great. So you are in Fort Lauderdale, you mentioned? Do you participate in readings in the Fort Lauderdale community? Is there things that you go to on a regular basis?
There aren't that many. There are two spots that do open mic nights, but they more so focus on music groups. So there's not a big open mic community in Broward County, at least. There may be in Miami-Dade, but that's a little bit far for me to travel in the Miami area.
How far? I've got relatives in both Fort Lauderdale and Miami. It's what, like 30 miles, or is it?
It's about a good half hour driving distance from Fort Lauderdale to Miami to get to the club section, and then, you know, additional time with the parking and just the amount of people. The arts community is more so visual arts. There's not a big poetry community, but, you know, there are tons of writers. They're just not a big open mic community or not a big poetry community.
So there's nothing like that you go to even occasionally that you kind of like, or?
Well, there's something in the Hollywood, city of Hollywood, that's in it's an internet cyber cafe, and they do something once a week. But again, they also have, you know, music acts, so.
Right, there's definitely a difference between an open mic and an open reading. You know, if it's hard for a reading to be really focused on poetry if you allow other stuff, because the other stuff, which is great stuff, don't get me wrong, musicians and comedians, you know, which is how it is here in LA, you know, tend to overrun a poetry reading if it's open to that. And I love comedy and I love music a whole lot, but you know, it's, if you want to go to a reading and have it be a reading, it's I think a better for the reading if the reading is just a reading. So I can see your hesitance.
I think more so that if there are public readings, it focuses, the universities tend to focus on it, and they have it for their students, not necessarily for the general public.
Right. Yeah, that's an academic institution phenomenon as well. Well, listen, Bonita, I'm running out of time here, but I'm really glad that you called in. It's, you know, a lot of times on with Poets of the Week, I only encounter you through email, and one of the reasons I did, you know, started the show a few years ago is because I wanted to be able to, you know, hear people live and get to kind of meet and know people a little differently. So it's very cool that you, a recent Poet of the Week, called in, and I hope you call in again. We do this every month.
Well, thank you for your show. I appreciate it. I look forward to tuning in every month now that I figured out how to get online. So thank you very much, and happy holidays to you.
Thanks so much. That was Bonita Smith, who from Fort Lauderdale, Florida. You can read, if you click on Past Poets Archive from the Poetry Superhighway menu at poetrysuperhighway.com, you will see her work. She was featured, let's see, I can tell you pretty quickly, just a few weeks ago, the week of November 15th through 21st, she's the third down on the list with Big Papa E, who's a very funny, very cool spoken word artist and poet. Good matchup there. So check out their work, and do check out Bonita's book, Bus Rides. Thanks a lot for everyone who called in. We'll be back next month, January 9th. If you're in L.A., I'd love to see you in Pasadena today at 5. I've got a featured reading there. And do check out my new book, Sins of Buckwood, poetry from Montreal on Amazon.com right now. Take care, everyone. Happy holidays.